You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully on today's episode, which is being dropped on the second day of February 2021. I'm going to be playing an interview from the archive where I talked to multiple World Series champion Lonnie Smith, specifically about his times playing for the 1982 World Champion Cardinals. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and all the places we get your podcasts. And if you're staying at home during these emotionally draining times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So as you can probably imagine from the previous podcast, there's a lot of stuff going on in your pal Sully's life, but I don't want to have a day go by without something from my Locked On MLB fans. So I am going back to the old Sully Baseball archives, and I had a multiple-part conversation with Lonnie Smith, who was a star player in the 1980s and kept popping up on World Series teams with the Phillies, the Cardinals, the Royals, and the Braves. In this part of our conversation, we focus on his best season, which was with the 1982 World Champion Cardinals and his involvement with that team. And he was a wonderfully generous man with his time, and we had fun talking about that. So instead of skipping a day and not having something to listen to, and there's a lot of stuff to cover, the union turned down the first proposal for that, for the agreement with the owners. I'm not worried. They're kicking around numbers. This is just going to go back and forth and we'll be fine. Dustin Pedroia retired. Godspeed, Dustin Pedroia. Mickey Callaway has always been a jerk. I hope he never works again in baseball. Boom. We've got all these things covered there. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Lonnie Smith.
I guess my first strange question to ask you is, you know, your great teams are the Phillies, Cardinals, Royals, and, you know, Atlanta. Is there one team that when you stop and think about your years in baseball that you identify with the most, or is there, are they all kind of like your children and you love them all kind of equally in their own way?
Well, they all have a little bit of personal feelings for me, but the one I enjoyed the most was the 82 Cardinals because I got to play as an everyday player for the first time in my career in 82.
Yeah.
I was also reunited with a childhood friend and Little League teammate, and was Ozzie Smith. And I got to play with a couple of guys who I idolized, you know, over some years. Like, I was always a George Hendricks fan when I was growing up, when he was playing in Oakland. And a teammate of mine that I played with in Philadelphia, Dane Orange, was also there. So it holds a little bit more of a personal feeling for me because of those elements. But I enjoyed playing on all those teams. I was fortunate enough to be there.
Well, that was probably, I mean, that was probably your best year, too. I mean, 82, you were the runner-up and the MVP that year and just had a, you know, anyone who followed you at that time know that that's really those Cardinal teams that were just, man, they were just so wild to watch in the in the 1980s because it always seemed like it was a bunch of track stars and one slugger seemed to be the team there.
It was kind of like that in a way, but, you know, the Cardinals during that time, just like they're, you know, they have been the last few years, went out and got some good, you know, good quality players as well as were able to develop a few.
Yeah.
And the organization was just fun to play in at the time.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, you had a couple Hall of Famers on that team and a Hall of Fame manager in Herzog.
Exactly. I mean, what can you ask for? Like I said, I just managed to show up at the right place at the right time with the right team.
Well, I do a thing. I do my podcast. I also do write a blog. And during the postseason, for each day in October, I honored someone who had a great game on a certain day and may not be one like, you know, Carlton Fisk or Joe Carter that everyone always brings up. And on October 20th, my postseason hero of the day was a certain Lonnie Smith, talking about Game 7 of the 1982 World Series, a World Series that I think most people would associate with like Porter or Molitor. But that finale, that Game 7, which clinched the World Series, you had an absolute, you took over the game with, you got your three hits, you drove in the game. Well, just, what, I'm talking to you. Why don't you tell me your memories of, because that was a wild World Series between you and the Milwaukee Brewers. And that was fun either way.
It was. Well, my memory of that game isn't as crystal as most people probably, because I was just trying to do the best I could at the moment. I knew we had a good enough team, but it wasn't going to be an easy battle against Harvey's Wallbangers.
Yeah.
And things just fell into place. I finally, was able to put the ball in play a little bit more and do a few things that I wasn't able to do in the first few games. But, we were basically playing as a good quality team. I mean, it wasn't easy, but each and every day someone was contributing, you know, from Daryl Porter to Willie McGee to Ozzie to Bruce Sutter. I mean, our starting pitchers. I mean, it was just a good team effort. I mean, sure, you're going to pick an MVP, but I think out of all the teams I played on, that was the one team I felt that everyone contributed when we needed it.
Well, all anyone needs to know about, here's the bottom third of the order on that day. Willie McGee batted seventh. Tommy Herr batted eighth, and Ozzie Smith batted ninth. I mean, that's usually the bottom of the order is where you expect to get a couple of easy outs there. And all three of those players, McGee, Herr, and Smith, had, you know, got on base and scored and contributed in that day. But in the fourth inning of that game against, anyone who remembers, Pete Vukovich was the Cy Young Award winner that year. You drove in the first run of the game, Mr. McGee, who was, by the way, anyone remembers Willie McGee, what an unbelievably great player he was. I have to say, just as a fan, Willie McGee was always one of my favorite players because he, at the plate, he looked so awkward. I mean, he held the bat weird. His face kind of looked like, he reminded me of the kid, like the foreign exchange student who never played baseball, trying to hold the bat. And then he would bat 360. I mean, it was like you said, how does that stand equal a batting title? But he did.
Well, most people don't realize Willie didn't really have that much experience at switch hitting at that period either. I mean, he was just starting to come into his own. But he had a great tutor in Ozzie. Right. You know, Ozzie took him under his wing. He stayed with Ozzie for a while. I don't know exactly how long. So he had one of the game's premier tutors in getting him prepared to play the game. Plus, he had all the tools to become a star, which eventually he did. But getting back to what you were talking about, that batting order, that was the beauty of that team. We didn't have a lot of power,
right,
but we had guys who can bat in almost any slot in the lineup, depending on how well they were swinging the bat. Most people thought I hit leadoff a lot, and I did. But there were times where when I was swinging the bat well, Whitey didn't hesitate to put me in the 3 spot, the 4 spot, or the 5 spot, you know, or the 6 spot. But it just depends on who was swinging the bat, how we're getting runs. Sure, we can get on base, we could steal, but sometimes we needed people to knock us in. And not all the time could you depend on the big hitters. You know, George had a great year. Keith Hernandez had a great year. Porter had a decent year. Mm-hmm. But sometimes trying to get that two-out hit when a guy wasn't swinging the bat well, you know. So we were able to insert guys in different spots. Tommy Herr hit from leadoff down to 6.
Right.
You know, Willie hit from leadoff down to 6. You know. And although people felt, Ozzy was a weak hitter, Ozzy made more contact than anybody on the team.
Well, he was a terrifying hitter in a way because he wreaked havoc. You know, you didn't know where it was going to go, and it was
exactly. And he would hit the ball everywhere. He might not have hit it, you know, over the fence,
right?
But you knew he was going to put the ball in play.
Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Here's more of my conversation with St. Louis Cardinals star Lonnie Smith and memories of the 1982 World Series title.
Milwaukee had just, their lineup was like just unbelievable. And they had beaten an Angels team that was basically an all-star team. So they had, you know, Molitor, Yount, Cooper, Ted Simmons, Ben Ogilvy. Gorman Thomas was batting sixth or seventh on that team. I mean, the depth on that team was unbelievable. And they had a lead in Game 7 of the World Series with a Cy Young winner on the mound in the sixth inning. And it was Ozzy Smith singled, a player by the name of Lonnie Smith. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. Got a double down the left field line to start the rally, of which Hernandez tied the game, and George Hendrick brought it home, drove home the go-ahead run. But your double in that inning basically sparked the go-ahead rally, and then your leadoff double in the eighth gave the, you know, much-needed insurance run, hand the ball to Bruce Sutter, ball game. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, what more can be said?
Not a bad day. Not a bad day at the office.
You know, like I said, we were just that type of team, and it was enjoyable to play for. I mean, that's why it's still one of my favorite clubs.
Do you have much interaction with the Cardinals organization, or like whenever they're in the postseason?
No, not really. Once I retired, I pretty much just left the game. I left the game the way I came in, quiet. You know, like I said, I was fortunate enough to be on some great teams. I had a little bit of stardom, but I really wasn't a star. You know, so when it was my time to lead the game, you know, it was no fanfare. It was just thank you guys for the blessings, and hopefully everything will go well for everyone.
No rocking chairs, No.
No
Derek Jeter, like every time, this is the last sip of Sprite Derek Jeter will have, you know.
Well, you know, I'm not a Hall of Famer type player. Only Hall of Fame players get that type of send-off, unless you're one of those guys who people just truly love and enjoy and just a great individual. You know, my life had a number of ups and downs in the game, you know.
Right, yeah.
I can't complain. You know, I had a good life in baseball. I'm still living a good, decent life, so that's all I can ever ask for.
Yeah. I want to just bring up two people from that. I'll bring up three people. I'm looking at the winner of the Game 7. I mean, Bruce Sutter was the one who closed it out, obviously. Hall of Famer, great reliever. The starting pitcher that game was the great, now sadly the late, Joaquin Andujar.
Mm-hmm.
Another player who I always loved watching just because he was, I remember with the Astros and later at St. Louis, just so much fun to watch and such a, you know, fierce competitor. What, do you have any memories of, like, when I say Andujar, like, what pops into your head about Joaquin?
Well, most people thought Andujar was basically an arrogant blowhard, talked a lot of crap, but he was really a nice guy. Wonderful person to know. Fun to be around. He was funny, you know. He was helpful. He was just a down-to-earth good person, you know. And when it came time to pitch, he took it serious. And sometimes we had to loosen him up a little bit in order, because he was really serious the days of when he was ready to pitch, which you can't blame him for that.
Yeah.
But we always felt that the looser he was, the better he pitched, because he was always going to keep that edge, that attitude about going out there and doing his job. You know, some people, like I said, thought he was cocky, but he really wasn't. He just did what he had to do when the time came to do it. And you asked if there was any particular memory about the war camp?
Yeah.
The best memory I have is when he claimed he was going to hit a home run off a guy. And he did it. And I'm talking about in a game. And he did it left-handed. You know. And,
yeah.
You know, it was like I said, he took his job serious. And he went out there and did it. And, you know, most people thought he was just, you know, the team thought he was just crazy at times. But he'd go out there and he'd do it and he'd prove it, you know.
Was the thing Reggie Jackson said, it's not bragging if you can do it?
Exactly. You know, and now, he felt he could do it, and most of the time he did it.
Now, you mentioned Ozzie Smith, no relation, who was on your YouTube. He was on San Diego the year before, and I think you were with, that was your first year in St. Louis, right?
Yes, we both came over. He came over from San Diego, and I came over from Philadelphia.
Actually,
I came over from Cleveland, excuse me.
wait, you came over from Cleveland?
I was traded from the Philadelphia Phillies to the Cleveland Indians, I believe, for Bo Diaz.
Yeah.
And then 5 minutes later, I was traded from Cleveland to the St. Louis Cardinals for Silvio Martinez and I can't remember the name of the other pitcher, but another right-handed pitcher. And I don't want to get the name wrong, so I'm
not even going to... Let me look it up. I thought you went straight from Philly to St. Louis. Like, this is the... I learned something new every day here.
Yeah.
It looks like they traded you for Bo Diaz, and then that same day flipped you for Silvio Martinez and Larry Sorensen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So tell me your memories of Cleveland.
Before I even knew I was there, I was gone. Let's put it that way. I got details after I got the welcoming call from St. Louis. And to this day, I still haven't got the call from Philadelphia telling me that I was traded.
Well, let this be. This is actually officially the call. I am now calling informing you that you have been traded for the Philadelphia Phillies to the Indians, to the Cardinals. Boy, you're glad you landed in St. Louis rather than Cleveland. Holy cow.
I don't even want to get into that story now.
I said it, you did it. Anyone listening, I'm the one who said it. If you're going to go to a team in the early 80s, okay, Cleveland in an empty stadium, terrible uniforms, going nowhere fast.
Terrible stadium. It was still terrible when I was on the Royals and we went to Cleveland, and I thought I was in the minor leagues again when I got to that ballpark.
I went there. I went to a game there once. It was
depressing.
There was about 20,000 people there, and it looked like, you know, when like a high school team plays their championship in like the major league ballpark, and there's only like 100 or so people there, and they're all like the moms and the girlfriends. That's what it looked like. That's what.
I've seen those days when I first went to Atlanta.
Wow.
89 and 90, I saw those days.
I hope you sent a nice thank you note to Silvio Martinez and Larry Sorensen and say, have fun in Cleveland. I'm going to win another World Series.
Whew, what can I say?
Oh, man. Man, yeah, that's the luck of the draw right there. Boy, I mean, and
you're right.
No offense, Silvio Martinez and Larry Sorensen, but I hope you had nice careers.
Well, I want to thank Pass Pros for setting up that interview, which we did back in 2016. And maybe I'll play some of the other parts of it because he has really nice memories of time winning World Series titles, also with the Phillies and the Royals, and his time being on those Atlanta Braves team that came out of nowhere to win the pennant. New original episodes are coming up. We got a What If Wednesday coming up and some thoughts on some of the moves that are going around. This show is available in the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. I think I said that right. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLBPod. Looking back at fun talks with Lonnie Smith and the 82 World Series, this has been Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.